written into the unchangeable law of the Medes and the Persians. Day after day they lived with this threat, the thought of this horror. Did families talk about it? About how they would face it? Of possible ways to escape it? To save their children? You know they did, wouldn't you? Surely they called upon God to save them. The most devout asked him to go with them as they faced such a dreadful fate. It was at this juncture, you'll recall, that Esther stepped in, stood tall, and interceded for her people. Suddenly, one day, the tables turned. The power shifted. Haman, the anti-Semitic official, was impaled on his own gallows, and Mordecai the Jew was given the place of prime minister. A special edict was then written for them, which we looked at in the last chapter. The king granted the Jews, who were in each and every city, the right to assemble and to defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate the entire army of any people or province which might attack them, including children and women, and to plunder their spoil. Esther chapter 8, verse 11. That's like giving concentration camp prisoners long overdue rights. It's cutting the barbed wire. It's feeding them rather than the guards. It's an unlimited, no-holds-barred edict. The entire land was turned against them until this edict, and now they're free to retaliate, to annihilate the entire army of any people or province, including children and women, and to plunder their spoil. What an opportunity for retaliation. Annihilate them, leave them devastated. A copy of the edict to be issued as law in each and every province was published to all the peoples so that the Jews should be ready for this day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Esther chapter 8, verse 13. Don't miss the flashing green light. They were to be ready to avenge themselves. Understand, we were allowed to see inside the king's quarters where Esther and her husband the king and Haman had met. But the general public saw none of the above. All they knew was that the heart of the king had changed. They also became aware that the power in the palace had shifted. They had watched the personnel change. And in the midst of all this, the new edict was declared. This was their moment. Someone has said the most dangerous human on earth is a prisoner who gets hold of a weapon. This is my chance. And we have seen and read of accounts where that kind of retaliation happens, and the gross brutality that bursts from the human heart when revenge takes charge. The English words avenge and vengeance come to us through the French, and both languages got it from the Latin vindicare, which has the same root as vindicate. Isn't that curious? Vengeance, which is passion out of control based on hatred, and vindicate, which is what God claims to do when defending his people, are from the same root, vindicare. They carry contrary messages. In order for there to be restraint of vengeance, self-control must be applied. I believe that is exactly what we read in the 9th chapter of Esther. I have frequently read or heard the term bloodbath applied to the last part of her story. It sounds like human depravity out of control, the rage of revenge gone wild, thousands of people killed. It is almost as if the Jews pick them off from their windows with delight. Joyce Baldwin offers helpful insight here. Though in the book of Esther the tables had been turned on those who would have killed the Jews had behind them all the theological conditioning provided by their scriptures, and their understanding of permission to avenge themselves would have been adjusted accordingly. Instead of having to endure slaughter without any means of self-defense, the new legislation permitted them to fight for one day against those who attacked them and to kill them. The fact that this surprising change in the circumstances had taken place was awe-inspiring. It pointed to a providential ordering of their affairs not to be taken lightly. To be sure, it was wonderful and a cause of rejoicing, but arrogance and presumption were ruled out. together with all bullying, self-assertive superiority, which in turn would call for God's condemnation and punishment. In other words, the Jews were allowed to administer self-defense, restraining evil, but in doing so, they were to apply great self-control. Built into the heart of those ancient Jews was a long-term restraint derived from the teachings of the Torah, the Holy Scriptures, that held them in check. Let me show you. Now, in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day when the king's command and edict were about to be executed, on the day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain the mastery over them, it was turned to the contrary so that the Jews themselves gained the mastery over those who hated them. Esther chapter 9, verse 1. The writer refers twice to gaining the mastery over one another.